Hi, welcome to the Velips Tech Tuesday Unbox, where we unbox the latest and greatest in DevOps. I'm your host, Amir Shalem. Our goal is to bring you the most up-to-date and relevant information from industry experts. From continuous integration to continuous delivery, cloud to Kubernetes, logging and monitoring, and production use cases, the Tech Tuesday Unbox podcast is your go-to source for DevOps. In every episode, we'll speak to fascinating DevOps experts who will take us on a deep dive into their professional expertise.
And today we're hosting Andre Sara. Am I saying this correctly? Andre is from Cosly. And Andre, what exactly is your position at Cosly?
Hi, so first of all, thank you very much for having me. Thanks for the intro. My name is Andre Sara. I'm a founding engineer at Cosly. Cosly is a new venture that we started about a year and a half ago, and we are developing a platform. I hope I get a chance to tell you more about it. We are at the stage where we are going to a number of customers, and as a founding engineers, I get the chance both to work with our design partners, actually write code, set the direction for the roadmap, which is the most exciting thing that you could do at a startup at an early stage. So we're having a lot of fun.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a big that's a big role that you have. I want to ask you. So, what kicked off your journey into tech? Was there like a eureka moment that you understood that this is what you want to do?
Funny, because I was thinking about you might ask this question, and I thought back what kicked off my career. It was I was 10 years old, and my dad has signed me up for a computer programming class in my hometown in Hungary, and I guess I've been hooked ever since.
So you were pushed into it.
No, I think I was pulled into it, maybe. But in either case, it's a lot of fun. I think I just enjoy putting things together. And I think microservices is the most fun that you can have because it's all about putting things together and then it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
But most of the time it does, right?
Totally.
So you were talking about like setting the roadmaps, but I want to ask, did you have like any big roadblocks? Did you ever like got something stuck on? And maybe how do you pass them?
You would hope that you always get stuck on big things. Otherwise, the problem that you're solving is not complex enough. So I'd like to get stuck on more problems. I think that you know, one of the interesting things in terms of what we're doing is to build a reasoning platform that can do a job faster and more scalable than humans can. But I don't think it works without knowledge. So one of the interesting questions is how do we capture knowledge? How do we capture knowledge in a way that software can use this? And we're actually making some really cool stuff in writing a declarative language that can capture this knowledge in an abstract form. But that is a lot of fun. I guess you could say it's a lot of struggle also, is how do you define a language that is actually serving a particular purpose, but it's at the same time something that humans can take their thoughts from their brains and then put it into this language and then software can use it.
So I'm getting it.
So we basically started with some low-level description, and then it was too painful, it was too verbose, we're creating some abstractions on top of this. I guess with most of these things, it's an incremental progress. It's not like you put a roadblock and then you solve it and then everything is great. But I think it's realizing, you know, what are the problems that you choose to solve? How do you incrementally go about solving them and then continue to do better? I don't know if that sounds too generic, but it's a lot of fun.
No, but it's it sounds like it's a challenge after challenge after challenge, and this is it's a lot of work. So how do you find time for life? Like how do you keep your work from eating your me time?
That is a good question. I think I'm doing terribly bad historically, but I'm trying to get better. And there are all these things that you could do in between. I think in a way, you know, there may be some disadvantages of having a remote company, but there are a bunch of advantages. I could go snowboarding with my kids. you know, I could make ice cream in the middle of the day that is ready by the time they get home from school. You know, so there's a lot of things that you could do that hopefully keeps you sane. I could sign up for a, you know, weightlifting workout class every Thursday afternoon. I could go have a yoga session every Sunday morning. So hopefully a combination of those things are enough to keep me sane, at least for a little while.
I will take example from you and I will maybe go eat ice cream afterwards. It's a hot day here. Where are you located?
So I live in New York, actually in Westchester County, which is just about half an hour north of New York City. And, you know, it's a great place. You know, we have a nice neighborhood, birds chirping outside. So it's cool. It's, I mean, Israel is nicer, possibly, but I'm quite happy in New York.
It's probably hotter.
Yes.
Now, for sure, right? I want to ask, so do you have, like, anyone in the tech world that you take inspiration from?
That's a interesting question. I think that it's trying to find a balance between someone who is creative and can think of problems that haven't been solved before, but at the same time trying to be, you know, nice about it and not necessarily destroy humans in the process of inventing things. So it's a hard combination. I don't know if I could pick one person that does this, but you know, combination of Steve Jobs and Warren Buffett, but in one person or something like that.
Yeah, I can say that I really, you know, I look at my teammates a lot of time, and I'm thinking, like, these are people that I really enjoy working with, and they sometimes inspire me, right? They give me like the inspiration to do things, but also the people that I work with could be like the people that I take them as role models for some of the things. So do you have like those role models? Like people that you've worked before?
So, you know, it's interesting because I spent, before Causely, we started another software company. I spent 10 years at Goldman Sachs managing their global systems and application management engineering team. And there were a couple of really amazing leaders, mentors, you could call them managers, but it's really people who you learn from, and especially in large organization. I'm going back to Goldman because Goldman at the time, and I guess still, is a deeply technical organization, but at the same time, it's a large organization. So finding the balance of how do you help and grow people. So the first person that hired me was Mary Byron. She retired since then. She was a managing director, a partner, and you know, she was able to pull people together, have a really nice group of people working together, but at the same time, you know, push them. Another you know, manager a couple of years later I worked for was Helen Polino, she had this amazing ability to focus on, you know, how do we make this better rather than just run things at the same time. So for example, back in the early 2000s, there were a couple of tough years in terms of, you know, financial, you know, problems, and many mm-hmm. companies were downsizing. And one of the things that she said is that, you know, this is the best time for engineering to focus on improving things, and instead of stopping the innovation, focus more on the innovation. Instead of just keeping the lights on, now we can do better so that when we actually go back to a growth phase, then we're actually going to be able to operate better. And those are both inspirational, but actually from a business perspective, very productive. So, and then probably most recently, Shmuel Plieger, who is the founder of Causely, as well as the founder of the previous company, Turbonomic, and other companies before that, he's got this really amazing insight into, you know, a really hard problem that needs to be solved, but at the same time has this amazing instinct for seeing people for who they can be, and helping them to, like, we were really good, I think, at finding people from college, and then putting them into position where they could learn a lot and became both technical and people leaders at the same time. And I think that it's amazing to be able to create that atmosphere where you could bring people in, let them grow, be them successful. And then a bunch of them have gone on to be managers at various companies or leaders in the technology or founders of other startups. And I hope I could follow all of my previous mentors and managers, or at least some of them in some aspects.
Wow, that's actually, it's amazing, because it's not only about, you're talking not only about seeing the potential, like they're saying to you in school, you have a lot of potential, but also actually fulfilling it. And I think this is one of the greatest things that you can do for a person. You double quoted the managers, and I totally agree. It's about the leaderships, right? The leaders that you have in the organization. So like, there's a lot of talk about leadership inside the tech world. So can you like maybe throw us your secret sauce? If you have.
So I usually say that I'm a horrible manager. But what I mean by this is that I actually don't like to manage people. What I really mean by this is that I think that if you could show people why do you need to do things, then you don't have to tell them how to do, and definitely you don't have to tell them what to do. They can be creative in how they go about solving a problem and often come up with better solutions than if you were to tell them what to do. So I think that this joint understanding of this is the goal that we want to achieve, or this is the direction that we want to go forward, and maybe even you could think beyond this, but like set a direction, agree on the why, and then let people to innovate on the how and the what, and add to the why also. And that's not like, it's not, I guess maybe that should be called management, as opposed to, here's a list of tasks that I want you to do, which I think is really, I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
And I don't think I should be doing it anyway.
Okay, so let's look at a different perspective. So how do you switch off? Do you have any hobbies, any passions?
So I mentioned a few, and it's really cool when you not only get to do things, but then you're able to pull your kids along and your family along with some of these things. So we have a lot of fun. I've been snowboarding for the last like probably 15 years, skiing for the previous 10. And when you can get both of your kids, I've got two high schoolers, come with us on, this is not like, Swiss Alps. This is New York State. These are small mountains, but for a family, it's a lot of fun, to spend the day just, going up and down the slope, to be able to chat while sitting on the lift and going up. So on the winter, there is that. And then this is a strange month because, 2 weeks ago, it was really hot and really nice. And I was like, oh, I'm sad I may not be able to go snowboarding again. But then I can go biking. We've got the Empire Trail right in front of our house, which is this really long bike trail. And it's a lot of fun to get on the bike. You have to find some motivation to bring the kids along. So there is a nice ice cream place about half an hour bike ride from my house. So if I tell them that, like, you have to bike with me for half an hour, but you get ice cream at the end, then you'll come along and it's fun.
Wow. I just want, you don't know how hot it's here right now. So I'm like, yeah, I would definitely go with you for some ice cream right now. Let's talk about impact. So what do you want to leave a mark on?
In my experience, there are a couple of things that are really hard. How do you make them easier for people? I think that designing, architecting, and also operating complex systems is hard. How do I make this easier for people? I think that on one hand, it is exciting to solve complex problems, but doing that under pressure is really hard. I think that one of the ways that you could put this is that, oh, we want software to rule the world. I think that is true, but that's a nasty way of saying it, I think. I think that what I want is I want software to solve problems that I actually don't want to solve, because it is easier, faster, and more reliable for software to do this. And I can think about a couple of other things that I want to spend my time on. So basically, how do I make people's life easier, especially in the software business, who are responsible for designing, operating, managing complex large systems? And I think in general, this whole microservices, cloud native world is an increasingly more excellent opportunity for that.
It's actually very interesting, because like when you start to build like a building or something, you need to set the environment, you need to make everything work. And just after that, you can actually start building the actual thing. You need to set the fundamentals of it, right? So maybe the tech industry is only on that level currently. You know, yes. we're just laying out the first bricks. So we're solving the fundamentals so people could actually solve bigger questions afterwards.
Interesting point, because I really enjoyed my time at the Technical University of Budapest. There are, you know, obviously many departments. I was following my father's footsteps in the electrical engineering department, or I guess computer engineering now. But some of my friends were in, you know, different other disciplines, and a lot of the other engineering disciplines are so much more mature. Like I was watching, you know, the Tappan Zee Bridge, that's the bridge across the Hudson, right across from us or near us, being built. And there is a fairly well-established practice of how do you build a bridge? And then it stands, and it probably is going to be there for a number of decades and probably longer. And software is so different in ways. I think that we are so immature in such an early stage, and it changes so rapidly. So on one hand, it is disappointing that we are not able to build a bridge quality software. But at the same time, it's so exciting that we've got this like growing set of challenges that we need to solve in front of us. And how do we do better? How do we help people to do better engineering in software? It may take more than a few years, but I think hopefully we'll get there.
I sure hope so. All right, I'm going to shift some gears, and we're going to play like a quick association game. So I'll throw a word and you just hit me back with the first thing that pops in your mind. It could be a single word, a concept, a tool, anything that resonates what you think. So let's start. Like I always start with infrastructure as code.
I think it's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. On one hand, everybody should do it. At the same time, it should be boring. Like if it's exciting, then I think it's a problem. Mm-hmm. I think that some of these things can be commodity, and hopefully the innovation happens above this.
Empowerment.
I think that's the future. I think that every individual, every person, every team should be empowered, maybe free to take you know the best use of their potential and to grow.
Kubernetes.
I'm a geek. I think Kubernetes is fun, which is a contradiction to everything that I said before. I think it's fun.
Yeah, maybe it's the bridge. No, I also, you know, people say Kubernetes, and I'm also quite fond of it. Shift left.
Shift right. And I'm saying this very sadly, because I think that the reality is that the thought is to shift left. I think that what we're doing in a bunch of places is creating architectures that are actually harder to operate, which is basically shifting the problem right. I think we have to change that. It actually have to be real shift left, not just a we want to shift left type of a thing.
Yeah. Okay, so this is exit.
I guess that's a new beginning.
Yeah.
Next challenge.
Okay, so that's the bonus round now. So give us your topic. It could be a book, a film, a gadget, something that sparked any interest in you lately.
So I really like sci-fi, and one of my latest favorite sci-fi is from a English writer, Adrian Tchaikovsky. He's got it. First, it was a duology, but then he published a third book, to, I think it's Children of Time series. And maybe for people who haven't read the book, I shouldn't kill the whole thing, but it's a really interesting question of how does how does societies evolve, and then they turn into something. And anyway, there is this really interesting thing about a society of spiders and a society of octopuses, octopi, I guess is the plural, and how they collaborate with each other. So if that is enough to get someone interested, they should read the trilogy.
Sounds cool. Yeah.
Octopi think very differently. Their nervous system is distributed to all of their arms. It's not a central brain. And what is a society of octopi, and how they think and how they collaborate and how they operate is a fascinating question.
Wow. So, Andre, we will meet you on April 9th on 3 o'clock. It's going to be a Tech Tuesday with Develop. Maybe tell us a little bit, what should we expect in the webinar?
So I hope that I'll get the chance to. I don't think I need to explain the problem. I think that the develop team is amazing. The people that we've worked with already have a lot of talent, and they are very aware of all of the challenges in operating large-scale complex environments. But I want to highlight the way that we believe that we can solve these problems better. What we are designing, developing, and delivering is this reasoning platform. The goal of our platform is to provide a closed-looped control system that is not able to identify any performance degradation or any failure in the system, but is able to identify what is causing them or what could cause them, and prevent them or remediate them if it cannot be prevented from degrading or failing the service and violating the service level. And to be able to do this reasoning in software, I think it's an amazing opportunity. I'm really curious the DevOps team and, of course, the broader community's feedback on to what extent does this help them in their job? How many of the problems that they currently struggle with, we can solve them and effectively help them to deliver better service and happier customers?
I'm already waiting for it, actually, because I got like a really quick demo from you like a week ago, and now I want to see a little bit more, and really looking forward to this.
What I also like to hopefully mix into this is that we have this little open source project where you could create your own chaos.
Yeah.
We call it Chaos Mania. So you could actually simulate all of these different failures, like, you know, I'm not consuming messages fast enough from a Kafka broker, things are blowing up, I'm opening too many connections to the AWS server. And I think that everybody has these problems in their life, but I think it's cool to be able to recreate them on the Vim and then to figure out, like, how do I solve these problems? How do I observe and how do I reason and how do I fix these things? So hopefully I'll give some, you know, pointers on things that you could play with at home as well.
Chaos Mania. Okay. Sounds awesome. Yeah. So I want to thank you, Andre, for joining me today. And I will see you very soon. Yeah.
This is very exciting. Amir, thank you very much. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I'm looking forward to the webinar.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is a review of Develop's Tech Tuesday webinar. So, if you're interested in our in-depth discussion about the latest development in DevOps, check out the webinar on our website and the show notes.